You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
May going for the corner of the end zone to Booty. Diving attempt, and he's got it. Antonio Gibson still going. Can he return the favor? You gotta be kidding me. Back to back. A 90-yard touchdown from 53 yards away. Kick on the way, and it is good. Pressure coming. Two in trouble. Down he goes. Milton Williams. Mike Vrabel will have his first win as head coach of the New England Patriots, and trouble for Miami.
Thank you, guys. Go fast.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and happy Victory Monday to all who celebrate. And no moral Miami Victory Monday. This is a big boy, 33-27, on the road, in the heat. Get the job done, Victory Monday. It was an up and down and back up game, I will say. Patriots started fast, faded a little bit in the middle, and then got the job done in the end to get the first win of the Mike Vrabel era here in New England. Good news, Patriots fans. While you may not be the Bills, you're also not the Jets or the Dolphins, and right now that's good enough in this period of time in New England.
The T-shirts, Andy.
WEEI Afternoons, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Andy Hart here on a Patriots Monday in our beautiful Brighton studios. Powered by Verizon, we are about 10 minutes away from our scheduled appointment to speak with Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, who ate everything on his plate this week. It was not too full. There was not too much on it. He had the game, not of the season, the game of his young professional career. If you are a Drake May fan, a Drake May believer, of which there are many on WEEI Afternoons, this is what you wanted to see. He put it all together in a tough spot on the road in Miami to lead the way to victory. I thought this was an efficient, decisive, confident performance by your young quarterback, the kind of games you want to see, you hope to see, dare I say you expect to see, and he delivered, Fitzy. It was a fun football game. Wasn't perfect. We'll get into some of the imperfections a little bit later in the show, but to start things off, Drake May had a day, and we should celebrate it.
Not only should we celebrate it, but coming off of our Six Rings and Football Things postgame show yesterday, I was feeling good. I was feeling happy for the team. But I got to say, a full 24 hours later, I feel better about that win than I expected to be feeling. And no, not just for Homer Honk reasons, or Fitzy the fanboy's always looking for a reason to love up on his Pats. Their first win under Mike Vrabel, full well knowing what's gone on with the team in the last couple of weeks, how they've assembled this mod squad via free agency, the draft, friends of Vrabel and beyond, and whatever was left over of the Mayo and Belichick Patriots. It was never going to be perfect, Andy. It was never going to be a box-to-wire, dominant ass-whooping of a game. They just needed to find a way to win. They're basically learning how to walk, learning how to run, learning how to fly, and learning how to win again together. And Drake May, in his 13th professional start, still had but a win under his belt. So to get a win in the House of Horrors down in Miami, when they had an early lead, took a couple of punches, lost the lead, and had to come back and hold on for dear life in what you called his most efficient and dynamic performance to date, I think there's every reason Pats fans should be feeling better about that win today as opposed to saying, oh, they almost found five different ways to lose it.
And in a week in which we talked a lot about it from last Monday night, about J.J. McCarthy, oh, he's got it. Forget the first three quarters. He was awesome in the fourth. Oh, interesting. So now he's played eight NFL quarters. Seven of them have been horrific. One was good. Does he still have it? It is a question for him. And later in the week, Thursday, we talked to Adam Schefter. He goes, oh, I think it's clear that Drake May has it. And we were all like, yeah, we've watched every game in practice, and we're not as confident as you are that he has it. Yesterday was an it game. for Drake May. Yesterday was the day you point back to it and say, with all the noise and the tough spot, first time they win in Miami since 2019. First time they score 30 points since 2022. This was the start of what you start to compile for Drake May as a, I guess we'll call it a credibility resume, where there's things to point back to and say, Drake went on the road to Miami and he was borderline perfect. The team wasn't, but he was borderline perfect. And I don't know if you agree with my assessment of that. I think he was borderline perfect in his execution yesterday in Miami. He did everything.
Oh, yeah, he did everything. Andy, this is what I can't wait to ask him about his efficiency and if that was a focal point and point of emphasis in practice. He literally threw half as many pass attempts and completed way more. 19 for 23, 230 yards, two touchdowns, and a running touchdown. I mean, like, I think we called it yesterday on the postgame show the model Drake May game. You give me that each and every week or something close to that, the Pats will have a chance every week.
And you know who else had a bounce-back, efficient effort? The offensive coordinator, a fellow guest of WEEI Afternoons. We talked to Josh McDaniels on Friday afternoon at Fenway Park. And what does he do? But he comes out with a nice game plan, comes out with balance. It was 6-6, 7-7, 13-13. It was a run-pass delight. The offensive line was good enough. Ramondre Stevenson was more than good enough, and Josh McDaniels was scheming it all up so that I think all the noise about the relationship, the triangle, the love triangle between Vrabel and McDaniels and May, and how do they get along, and are they all on the same page? It's funny. You know, a really easy way to quiet all that noise? Win. Produce. Win. Very simple. We're simple
Win.
People
Execute,
on the outside.
Execute, for God's sakes. That's it.
And they did. And so I do want to include Josh McDaniels in that because I believe Josh McDaniels, you saw what him working with a young, talented quarterback can look like. And I know his other pupil, his other star pupil, was throwing, what, three touchdown passes out in San Francisco in his maiden voyage in the Shanahan offense that he had to wait a few extra years to get to.
Quick question on that one, by the way, Andy. Do you think there was a moment yesterday between end of game and bedtime, wherever that was for Kyle Shanahan, where he just thought to himself, quietly or aloud, mother blanker, if we had just drafted him in the first place as opposed to Trey Lance, I might have a Super Bowl now.
Potentially. There's also that mother blanker, oh no, did we pay a quarterback again when we could have had a much cheaper version to do a very similar job the way they did
Jimmy
G?
That's a double mother blanker. I didn't even think of that. They paid the Purdy one.
Yep,
Purdy. And they could have just done it with the McCorkle.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on out there. And it is week to week in the NFL, and that's why I bring J.J. McCarthy up and Mac Jones. Who knows what it's going to look like from week to week? They're trying to run Trevor Lawrence out of Jacksonville. They got issues. Like, it's still early in the season. But the beauty is the Patriots are 1-1. The Patriots have a victory. The Patriots have a quarterback that we're talking about making plays and being effective and growing within the system, not all the weird conversations we were having last week. It's a one-off. Right? We know how this life comes at you fast in the NFL. They got to play the Steelers this week at Gillette. It could go ugly. We could be having whatever conversations next week. And we will, as I said, get into some of the inefficiencies, some of the issues on defense, the tackling, the penalties. Interestingly, Mike Vrabel kind of poo-pooed the penalty talk on the Greg Hill show this morning. Doesn't seem overly concerned with some of the penalties that are piling up. 617-779-7937. We'll be breaking it all down throughout the day. If you want to join the conversation on the text line, that's the easiest way early in the show as we get ready to talk to, Drake May. I would also say, not only was this the Drake May performance we were looking for, I do think that step up in the pocket, flick the ball to Ramondre Stevenson, was those types of plays we now put in our mental bank and go, oh, yeah, he has interceptions. Yeah, he had fumbles as a rookie. Not great. You remember that throw when he stepped up and hit Mondre right on the fingertips in stride and he caught it for 55 yards or 58 yards? Like, that's, he needs to add these to the highlight reel, and he started that process yesterday.
Oh, I've gone back and watched that play several times. That is, to each of them, a hang it in the Louvre type of play, because not only does Drake read the pocket correctly, roll to his right, and throw a dime, Ramondre is not Drake London. He's not the tall, he's not Tetroya McMillan. Like, he's not 6'5 with arms, you know, long enough to be a left tackle in the NFL. He's got a little, and he extends fully, and he never broke stride, Andy. He never broke stride, extends his arms, and then still wiggled for another 20 yards. Like, they both executed that play to a T. And I told you yesterday in the postgame show, and I'll stick to it today, that was the game changer after the Pats lost the momentum.
Well, there was a lot of game changers throughout the game where it went back and forth and punts and kicks.
Oh,
and
we were living in Haymaker City in the fourth quarter yesterday.
It was thoroughly entertaining, and I stand by my assessment on Twitter that it may have been a thoroughly entertaining game between two teams that aren't exactly near the top of the NFL these days in terms of talent and execution.
That's you sort of revisionizing what yesterday. I think you just called them bad football teams.
Things I said not awesome, but whatever. Anyway, you know what I did think of on that Ramondre catch, though, from misery of past seasons, let's say?
Mm-hmm.
Devontae Parker drops that. It's the same type of pass that he claimed, well, it hit my fingertips, but I couldn't catch it or whatever. But that was the same pass.
Bad place to throw it to for a wide receiver, his hands.
Right. So a wide receiver can't catch it when it hits his fingertips, but a essentially power running back on a wheel route can catch it when it hits his fingertips. Okay, maybe we've transitioned now into playmakers and positive mentality and guys that are accountable and those things. I also have a soft spot, I'll be honest, in my heart for Ramondre Stevenson. I like him in the last year plus of dealing with
He's
seven
a good
fumbles.
Kid, Andy. And, yeah, he really is.
All of that, like, I enjoy watching him have a classic day, 50-something yards rushing, 80 yards receiving, showing his versatility. And he was a key part of the balance early. The line was good, but Ramondre Stevenson was maximizing and finishing runs to help you be balanced and productive on those first few drives. And then, as you said, he may have come down with the play of the day.
Yeah, and also I think it was on this very program. You know, we used to always say people would steal from us on Six Rings. We would get take-snaked all the time. It was on this program a little less than 2 weeks ago, whereas we were hearing all about Travion, we said, I think we have not yet heard from Ramondre. He is not going gently into that good night. We could be on the lookout for a season for him. It's great to see him producing so far.
All right. As I said, we're going to go right to the phone lines. Joining us now is Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots on a Patriots Monday, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Mr. May, how are we doing today?
Doing pretty well. How about y'all?
We are doing great. We enjoyed a very entertaining and, in the end, successful football game yesterday. And I want to start off, not at the end, but at the beginning. I know you guys talked about wanting to start fast all week, and you went out there and you did that. You looked very comfortable, decisive, efficient. And I was wondering, was that just, you know, the byproduct of things started rolling early? Was it the investment in starting fast? You know, why'd you look so good and seemingly feel so good early in that game?
Yeah, I think it's kind of what I said, Pumpkin. You kind of get what you emphasize when you kind of harp on all week and you try to you really put focus into something and just try to find completions, get the running game going, and how to feel, you know, play actions, and kind of we're trying to just create positive plays and just kept on, you know, moving the ball, and was proud of the guys for starting fast, and I think that's something that we need to try to do every week.
Yeah, Drake, really seemed like there was great energy out there from yourself and from the team, and Andy and I were calling it a very efficient performance for you. 19 of 23, 230 yards, three total touchdowns, two in the air, one on the ground. And it's funny, it's half as many pass attempts as last week when you attempted 46. So less in the end ended up being more. Was efficiency on offense a point of emphasis for you guys this past week?
Yeah, I think it's a point of emphasis every week to be try to be efficient on offense. You know, we're going to try to stay in third and manageable. You know, try to be good on first down. I think we still got some you know, we had some penalty issues that we need to clean up. We had some kind of longer yardage, kind of fighting long first and second down that we need to clean up. But you know, I think overall, I'm proud of the guys, the way they fought adversity. And you know, I thought we had a pretty strong first half and need to maybe finish one more, you know, down in the red zone. But really, other than that, just proud of those guys for you know, also kind of harping on, you know, scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
Drake, how important was it to succeed in terms of balance early on? I think it was like seven runs, seven passes in the first quarter, and it just kept going that way. It seemed like not only were you clicking, but Josh was kind of dialing up productive plays both on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, you know, it all starts with running the football. You know, those guys do a great job in the run game, and it's just one of those things when you start to run it, it opens up kind of, you know, the passing game and the play-action game. So the more they got to respect the run, the, you know, the less that, you know, they can handle the pass. So I think it's always an emphasis for us to try to get the run game going early, and able to play off that. And I think those guys, Coach was kind of in the rhythm. And once you're kind of in the rhythm, it's with the offensive coordinator, it starts rolling.
So, Drake, the second half saw its share of haymakers and game-changing plays back and forth. It was a wild ride, especially in the fourth quarter. But if you can, walk us through the 56-yard completion to Ramondre. I thought it was the play of the game. Was he the primary read on that play, and what did you see?
Yeah, just Mondre making a play. I think he gave the backer a good little move and had him up the sideline. So, yeah, just trying to give him a ball he could catch. I thought I almost overthrew it at one point. Just glad he made a great catch and finished off with an even better run. So I think just making a play in crunch time. We're down in the game. Big third down to kind of it's loud in there on the silent count. It's a big third down to kind of really change the momentum of the game. And I think just props to our guys of making a play and handling it down there is the best thing about it. We finished the touchdown in the red zone. So that was that was a huge play for sure.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoons. Drake, I know there was a lot of just noise from people like us, reporters, podcasters, everybody last week criticizing the offense, wondering if there was too much on your plate. And I know you've used the word proud of the team, but it's got to feel good to go on the road to Miami, a place that's been very difficult for the Patriots to play over the years, in the heat, division foe, and really show the resiliency to not only win the game, but kind of, I guess, shut up idiots like us on the radio. That has to feel good.
Oh, shoot. We're not worried about that. That's part of, playing in this league. There's a bunch of eyes, on every team and every offense around the league when, we play up to the standard. So I'm just glad to get in the win column. And I think it took everybody. It literally took everybody yesterday. Special teams, offense, defense, coaching. So it was cool to come out with the win.
Now, it seemed like earlier in the game, get the touchdown to Mac Hollins, Kayshon Boutte with a dime that you threw into the corner made another incredible catch. But they all end up only having one catch on the day. Were they not heavily favored into the game plan, or did Miami try to make a concerted effort to take away some of your perceived top targets?
Yeah, I think that's just sometimes how the ball bounces. I think those guys still blocked hard in the run game. We had some tight ends, we had some running backs out of the backfield, we had some screens, some kind of one of those games where we really dropped back passing and just kind of letting their edge rushers kind of eat on the edge. So I think it was one of those things where we were trying to get the ball out quick, and I think more and more down the road you could see games where they have bigger games, but at the same time we're just trying to spread it out, spread the ball out. We got a lot of guys that can make plays, so I think everybody's just kind of finding their role and playing in it.
We mentioned the balance of the offense. The passing game was going, the running game is going. That means the offensive line is doing their jobs in both ways. You got a couple rookies up there on the left side, four new starters. I have to think you're very appreciative of not only the effort they're putting in, but the performance they're putting in a couple weeks into the season.
Yeah, those guys are playing their butts off. Credit to those guys. And it's a good feeling running out there with them every week. And I know they're playing hard and wanting to run the football and wanting to win. So, I think, us six really drive, the offense. And I think it's continuing to show there and get better and better, as we go on, the more they play with each other.
All right. So how happy were you to play such a large part in Mike Vrabel's first win as coach of the Patriots? Saw him in the tunnel afterwards, high-fiving everybody. He was handing out game balls, like they were Christmas bonuses afterwards. How happy was he, and how happy were you to help make him that happy?
Yeah, it's an awesome feeling. I think it's, we wanted to get the one last week, but, it's a good feeling to get one on the road, a division opponent. It means a lot, such a, emotional game and back and forth. So, I can only imagine, I could imagine I was in the locker room. So, it was a awesome feeling. Just, good to get a win. Like I said, it took everybody, and it was cool to see everybody kind of respond. And I appreciate what coaches kind of brought this year and brought to kind of this organization as of yet.
Speaking of your coach, what'd you think of his speed? I'm sure you've seen the video of him running the sideline on Gibson's kickoff return. Stephon Diggs said he thought coach looked a little slow. What was your assessment of his speed there?
Yeah, I'm more impressed. Pull a hammy or something. It's hot down there. It started cramping. So, I thought it's pretty cool. I was watching it from a a different angle, and kind of saw him, you know, once he caught the edge around there, I knew he was gone. So, you know, what a play, and it was funny to see Coach running down.
So, obviously, you're only as good as your most recent results in the NFL. Big one next week, but more importantly, how do you take the momentum of an effort like this where you guys got up early, took a few punches, came back and found a way to win? How do you take the momentum of this big road win in a tough place for you guys to pull it off and build off it offensively and as a team overall?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the big things is you still got to learn from it. Learn from things you could improve on, learn from, you know, mistakes, or learn from, you know, penalties, and learn from situational football, and, you know, help that, you know, take that and help and let it help us down the road. I think that's a big thing. And also learning how to, you know, come off a win and get back to work and practice this week, and know that it's, you know, it's any given week of the NFL, and they're trying to, you know, win the next week and move on. You know, as I say, the 24-hour rule. So try to get, you know, get rid of a big win and try to get another one.
Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. So a question hit me, kind of a crossover question from baseball. A lot of times when you hear about starting pitchers, you hear, oh, sometimes in the bullpen they realize they don't have their best stuff, but they got to go out there and find a way to get guys out and put together a solid performance. Is there a similarity with quarterbacks? Like, are there days when you warm up and you're like, oh, I got it today. The accuracy's here. I just feel it. And likewise, other days where sometimes, you know, okay, maybe not my best day throwing the football, but I got to find a way to be good enough.
You know, I think it's more of a, there's a kind of a standard kind of way you feel when throwing the football, and there's kind of a you know, feeling with how the footballs feel and how your arm's feeling, where you can kind of get a groove. Okay, yeah, this is one of those days. So, yeah, I wouldn't say you ever feel like horrendous throwing the football. Hopefully I won't, you know, before a game, but, you know, sometimes when, you know, when the wind gets going real bad, or, you know, with some tough weather, but, you know, really other than that, I think sometimes I just feel like, hey, it's a good day to, you know, wake up and throw the football. So.
All right. So up next, big one, you guys are 1-1, week 3 back home at Gillette, and it's the Steelers coming to town off of a particularly frustrating, if not embarrassing, loss for them in front of their home crowd. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think a hot mic caught you after the Jets game, week 3, 2024, looking for Aaron Rodgers to meet him or something, calling him the GOAT. So any extra excitement or motivation for you looking forward to maybe getting your first home win as a starter and facing off against a childhood idol?
Yeah, he was one of my favorite players growing up. You know, so impressive how he, you know, throwing the football in his days and still throwing it to this day. So, yeah, it'd be pretty cool to, it'll be our second matchup. You know, one from last year. So try to get a big, you know, big one at home and get a chance to play against, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback is pretty cool in its own.
Clearly, a win is a great way to unify a locker room and a football team. I'm wondering, because we tend to generalize and look at your team as offense, defense, special teams, three units. What is the vibe in your locker room a couple weeks into the season? Like, how do you get along with the defensive players? What's the competition level on the practice field? Give us a little sampling of sort of the behind-the-scenes vibes of the Patriots locker room.
Yeah, I think the guys are just, you know, kind of feeding off each other. I think guys are energized. I think guys are, you know, cheering guys on. I think we got a, you know, real kind of locker room that enjoys being around each other. That's the biggest thing. You know, we come into the facility, you know, looking forward to, you know, seeing each other and competing. And I think that kind of building off from training camp. You know, you're coming here and working with each other, and defense may have one day, we may have got them the next day. So I think guys are, guys are kind of, you know, buying into it and just trying to, you know, bring it every week. And I think that's one of those things where, you know, you learn throughout the season that, you know, you bring it every week and you're going to battle injuries and you're going to, you know, just use each other and use your teammates to, you know, keep going and play football.
Time now for the quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes from Mike in Medford, and it says, understanding how much time goes into your job during the season, what do you do, Drake May, to get away or wind down, even if it's just for a little while during the work week?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy, you know, watching college football. I enjoy watching, you know, other NFL games, you know, Thursday night and the Monday night ones tonight, just not even from a quarterback, you know, standpoint. It's hard not to watch it from a quarterback standpoint, but you know, sit down and try to be a fan for a little bit. And other than that, just you know, go out there with some teammates and you know, just kind of you'll relax and get the body back going for the next week.
Do you still have as much time to do that as a married man, or are there some more loyalties or responsibilities?
No, she loves football. She loves watching, you know, football as well, thankfully. So, yeah, I got a good one.
Okay, so you don't have to watch, like, the Lifetime channel or something when you're home on a Monday night kicking back?
Yeah, exactly. She knows. Yeah, Monday Night Football will be on. She knows, and she wants it, too.
All right, Drake, appreciate you joining us after the first win of the season. Good luck this week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
That's Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, here on a Patriots Monday. Coming up next, we'll talk, respond to a few of Drake May's assessments of what went on yesterday with he was rolling, he was feeling good, Josh McDaniels was rolling with the play calls, all that and more up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
And I know you've used the word proud of the team, but it's got to feel good to go on the road to Miami, a place that's been very difficult for the Patriots to play over the years, in the heat, division foe, and really show the resiliency to not only win the game, but kind of, I guess, shut up idiots like us on the radio. That has to feel good.
Oh, shoot. You know, that's, you know, we're not worried about that. Part of, you know, playing in this league, there's a bunch of eyes, you know, on every team and every offense around the league when, you know, we didn't play up to the standard. So I'm just glad to get in the win column. And I think it took everybody. It literally took everybody yesterday. Special teams, offense, defense, coaching. So it was cool to come out with the win.
As Ron Burgundy would say, I don't believe you, Drake May, here on WEEI Afternoons. I think it feels good to stick it to people like us, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, who are criticizing maybe a little too much or a little too loudly or for a few too many days over the course of the week to be like, yeah, you idiots, what do you know? Nothing on my plate. I went out and had the best game of my young career.
Y'all hit the panic button. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and to the victor go the spoils, that whole thing, he who laughs last laughs best, whatever cliche you want to use, that's Drake May right now. He's got the hammer because he went out there and he put together a really impressive game in Miami.
He wants it too.
I don't know what that means,
everyone wants
that.
The hammer. Hey, by the way, So far, this season, of course, is extremely short. It is but 2 of 17 regular season games. EPA per dropback and passing grade overall of the 6 quarterbacks that are now starting from the 2024 draft class, guess who's sitting high atop the perch?
I'm going to guess the way you brought this up, Drake May.
That would be correct.
See, that would have been a better back and forth if you had said,
oh, if
actually,
like,
Jaden Daniels. And then second is actually J.J. McCarthy. Third is Michael Penix. It's really
he's
crazy.
Fourth. Yeah, no. He stinks. This guy sucks.
He had a great day.
It's very, very gratifying to see. And I'm going to look forward to either the television explanation of what this tweet is all about or whatever he happens to share online. But Dan Orlovsky just tweeted out a little while ago, we got to talk about Drake May tape. I have a feeling that's going to be in the positive kind as opposed to the classic Dan Orlovsky, like, who's drawing up these plays? Matt Patricia's got 3 wide receivers running into each other. Spacing is terrible.
Yeah, there's going to be loud positive reactions from some Drake May haters. There's going to be even louder, more positive reactions from the supporters because the supporters have been waiting and hoping for a game like this that they could really kind of stick their chests out and say, see, I told you so. You know, somebody like me who said he was a diamond. Okay, he actually looked like a diamond and not the one on Coco's finger that caught the attention of Mike Vrabel on the Greg Hill show this morning. That's a totally different big diamond. But Drake May looked good. And so people that want to praise him now have the footage to use, now have the examples to use, and you don't have to pull a Pete Schrager and be like, well, you know, the turnovers, you can ignore those, whatever. No, there weren't any. There were just plays. There were touchdown passes. There was a touchdown run in which he looked back at poor Matthew Judon and was like, hey, old man, you ain't catching me. I'm scoring here. Like, this was a really fun And I start with that. You know that, Fitzy. It was a fun performance, but it was also a really good performance, really productive. And so the Dan Orlovskys of the world, I'm guessing our guy tomorrow, Ted Johnson, during his TED Talk, 3:30, WEEI Afternoons, I'm guessing he will have a lot of positive Drake May takes and say, see, I told you, I knew I liked him, I knew I saw the skills, right? This gives you, this pulls us out of the little bit of an abyss of negative thoughts we've been having over the last few weeks, both in training camp and the first week of the season.
Let's all admit guilty. It's not done yet. I mean, we got 15 games left in the season, and this is far from career. But I think we can all admit to overreacting a little bit. And even if the overreaction was necessary, go back to what I said Friday, and no, I'm not trying to tell anyone how to feel today. But the criticism was
Ted
warranted.
Ted doesn't like that.
Yeah, well, too bad. Tough for Ted. Ted can take that up on another TED Talk another day. Yeah, I know. Oh, someone criticized Fitzy. Insert Andy relishing the moment. Eat it, all of you. The criticism was well warranted. The cynicism was a tad unnecessary. Now Drake May comes out and proves everybody wrong to a certain degree, or at least showcases and demonstrates what he's capable of with a good game plan, with quality protection, and let's also give them their reverse flowers. The Dolphins' defense sucks.
Oh, not only do they suck, I'm not even sure they're trying anymore because they're trying to get their coach fired after Thursday night football. They're hoping as of Friday they have a new coach in Miami. But the reality is somewhere in the middle, right? As it always is, the reality is somewhere in the middle. Drake May
gray. I get it.
Is going to have the gray games coming. He's kind of had a bad game, kind of had a good game, looked uncomfortable, looked really comfortable, was feeling it, had one of those good days. Now there'll be ups and downs over the course of the season. So I'm not, you know, putting him in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going to pull a Wiggy and be like, oh my God, you better sign him for $400 million now, because if you wait till after the season, it's going to be $700 million. Nope. He had a really fun...
Not even allowed to sign him yet.
Not even, but apparently these days that doesn't matter. We've been talking about Christian Gonzalez for weeks, and people think it's a contract issue, not that he just had a setback, according to Mike
Giardi.
Maybe
we just need to stop talking about him, and he'll reappear at one point. Like, you can't say his name three times like Beetlejuice and make Christian Gonzalez appear on the field. Like, out of sight, out of mind. That said, I think we can all agree, adding Christian Gonzalez back into the batter of the defense, if you will significantly improve the bake.
And then good news, bad news. At 6:30 a.m., Mike Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show said there's a chance we see Christian Gonzalez this week. And
nice.
The bad news is at 11:30 to a press conference, he's like, I didn't say chance. And I'm like, no, I heard it. I was listening live. You said there's a chance we see Christian Gonzalez this week. So I don't know which side of the pendulum is right or wrong, but we'll keep an eye on that. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to react to Drake May, the Patriots' performance. You want to join the conversation, 617-779-7937, 3 o'clock. We're scheduled to talk to Marcus Jones, our defensive captain, after that performance in Miami that also had some ups and downs. We'll get to all that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Not only were you clicking, but Josh was kind of dialing up productive plays both on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, you know, it all starts with running the football. You know, those guys do a great job in the run game, and it's just one of those things, when you start to run it, it opens up kind of, you know, the passing game and the play-action game. So the more they got to respect the run, the less that, you know, they can handle the pass. So I think it's always an emphasis for us to try to get the run game going early and able to play off that. And I think those guys, you know, Coach was kind of in the rhythm.
That was Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed that interview, you can go back on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, download it. It's free. And it's very, very functional. I use it all the time to listen to interviews here on WEEI, specifically on the Greg Hill Show sometimes, catch up with the front office report. But that was Drake May praising his offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, got into a little rhythm there. And I don't know what comes first, the production on the field, the rhythm of the coordinator, sort of they go hand in hand, the chicken and the egg. But Drake was throwing well, Fitzy. Ramondre was running well. The line was blocking relatively well for both. And Josh was seemingly spinning the dial and coming up with a nice offensive approach there early.
He did. It's like Josh was in his bag once the game, excuse me, got going. We made a point, as did many people, many fans watching online who are used to talking about the game with their Foxborough friends on Twitter and whatnot, that that first early play call of him doing that double fake handoff that took about 25 seconds to develop, which ended up with Bradley Chubb just getting a face full of Drake. Yeah, that wasn't desirable. After that, everything quickened up. The pace quickened up. The reads were quick. The routes were quick. And Drake was taking the profits. Like, there was that first, correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't a fourth down, was it? I think it was a big third and four, third and three early. And Steph Diggs just ran, on the broadcast, they even called it like, oh, that's Julian Edelman used to do that all the time. Diggs just like made himself available real quick over the middle, turned, gave him the body,
yep,
popped it right in there. Like, that just, they played smart football. It was never greedy. They never took the big, the closest thing to a big shot, Andy, was the pass to Booty. But that was, you know, next to that dime piece to Ramondre down the sidelines, second best pass that he threw of all 23. So it was a very smart game plan, and I'm glad to see that Josh was back in his bag and in rhythm calling plays yesterday.
So, yes, I would say Drake May played really well. Josh McDaniels had a nice game plan, had a nice day calling plays, nice balance. Mondre ran well. Defensively, there were some ups and downs. We'll get into that a bit later. But let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Our buddy Joe in the car has, I think, a different view of this game. What's up, Joe?
There he is.
What's up, guys? Fitzy, what's up, gentlemen?
Listen,
Joe. I need to see the Patriots be a good, solid team. You know, that was the Miami. You know, they were up 15-0, right? Miami comes back and wins 17. Scores 17 unanswered points, right? The special teams for the Patriots, I believe, won that game because then the momentum went back to the Patriots, right? Now, you guys are saying about Josh McDaniels. I'm not a fan anymore. I'm not a fan. You guys are forgetting to mention the fact that when we were trying to run out that clock late that game, explain to me why he threw the ball when it was a second and eight and the pass was dropped and it stopped the clock, which then gave the Miami Dolphins a chance to win that game? Because I'm going to tell you guys something right now. If that had happened, if Miami had scored on that last drive because of that stupid call, you throw the ball instead of running and running out that clock, we would have been calling for people's heads today.
Thanks for the call, Joe. We're not calling for anyone's heads. I do think it's interesting to say special teams won that game on a day when they missed two PATs, had a missed kickoff that didn't land in the landing area, and gave up a punt return for a touchdown. So the balance in there with the kickoff return for a touchdown might be a little out of whack. But no, I can tell you what Mike Vrabel said, because he was asked that question on the Greg Hill Show. He was asked that question in the press conference. He said they thought they needed a first down to win the game. They thought they could catch the Dolphins a little off guard by throwing the ball, that there was a crosser earlier in the game in which they blitzed, and that they would get the same look and they could hit the pass. They didn't. It didn't work out that way, but they were going in an effort to win the game. It's not all that different than the old fourth and two. Remember when Bill Belichick told us, like, why are you throwing the ball? What are you doing? We're going to win the game. We're trying to win the game offensively.
They were trying to win the game. Yes.
They were trying to win the game offensively. It didn't work out. I think he would do it again. Now, my buddy Paul Perillo brought up an interesting question in the press conference here with Mike Vrabel, asking, should Drake May be coached there to either take the sack or just take whatever he can on the ground if the throw isn't wide open, if the throw isn't perfectly set up for the situation? And that is an interesting coaching point, maybe evolution of your veteran quarterback as he gets older. Okay, we're calling a pass here, but if it's not 100% there, don't stop the clock. Don't throw it away. Don't let the football hit the ground. Either take the sack or run. That's a coaching point, but I almost never criticize people for being aggressive. I prefer aggressive play. And
you,
I think
play,
that,
like, insert, put it away. Like, you know, from the soundboard, hello, you play to, that's exactly the point. Like, we've made this point a million times with friends on couches, coaching youth sports, or here on the radio talking NFL football. Like, when you play not to lose, that's exactly how you lose. You have to play to win the game, and being aggressive is often far more rewarded. And also, to Joe's point about special teams winning the game, I'm not going to say I'm ambivalent to that, but, you know, going back and looking at highlights of the game again this morning, one, when Barringer, a.k.a. Pedro Pascal, the punter, blasted that other one that sort of outkicked the coverage. I'm not going to blame the guy for having his good cannon leg attached to him, and so maybe he needs to have his balls in a humidor there. Like, they missed so many tackles on that punt.
Yeah.
I really can't blame that one on Behringer.
I don't believe he outkicked his coverage. His coverage didn't tackle the guy.
Yeah.
There's Schooler what
coverage?
Missed
the
it.
Coverage crapped the bed.
And 22 missed it. Schooler, you're all pro, and 22 missed it at the point of attack. He should have been tackled, so you didn't outkick anything.
Easily. And on Miami's kickoff return, my God, everybody that tried to bring Antonio Gibson down should have just walked in this morning like with cleats in uniform and said, you can just mail me the last check. It's fine.
We did have a text to the 508. Was the caller you just answered Harry Carey? No, that was Joe in the car. It was not Harry Carey, but he has a interesting voice and interesting perspectives. If you want to say special teams won this game, sure. Anyway, I don't care. If you want to say defense won the game because they had a sack late, sure. If you want to say the offense won the game because they got off to a great start, sure. Don't really care. All I'm glad is we're doing a Patriots Monday after a victory, and it's the first time this year, and that's kind of more enjoyable, Fitzy.
I bet they'd all love to cover themselves in brown mustard just like a hot dog.
I would never want to do that, but if you're part of the Bills Mafia, you probably have already done that. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation. How you feeling about that Patriots victory in week two? They are now 1-1. Who do you give credit to for the victory? Who do you blame for the game maybe being closer than it should have been in the end? We'll continue to break it all down. Up next, we are scheduled to talk to Marcus Jones, defensive captain, punt returner. He can give us some perspective on how they tried to deal with Tua and Tyreek Hill and company and how he feels they did. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.